And somebody sent me something this week that goes along with all these kings that you'd never expect Israel would be today where it is compared to where it could have been. And we're going to look at a couple of good kings. But here's something that we'll take a look at here on the screen. This is the newspaper headlines in the year 2035. Ozone created by electric cars now killing millions in the seventh largest country in the world, California. Spotted owl plague threatens northwestern United States crops and livestock. Baby conceived naturally, scientists are stumped. Iraq still closed off. Physicists estimate it will take at least 10 more years before radioactivity decreases to safe levels. Castro finally dies at age 112. Cuban cigars can now be imported legally, but President Chelsea Clinton has banned all smoking. George Z. Bush says he will run for president in 2036. Postal Service raises price of first-class stamp to $17.89 and reduces mail delivery to Wednesdays only. 35-year study, diet and exercise is the key to weight. Massachusetts executes last remaining conservative. Supreme Court rules punishment of criminals violates their civil rights. Now, the average height of the NBA player is now 9 feet 7 inches. New federal law requires that all nail clippers, screwdrivers, fly swatters, and rolled up newspapers must be registered by next year. Congress authorizes direct deposit of illegal political contributions to campaign accounts. IRS sets lowest tax rate at 75%. And Florida Democrats still don't know how to use a voting machine. Who knows? You know, 2035, these guys had no clue what was coming their way, though they all had the opportunity in their own lifetime to make things right with the Lord. So in chapter 19, we're going to look at Jehoshaphat, who most of his life is making things right with the Lord as the king and leading the people to the Lord. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. And he said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon you from the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in you. And if thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, the groves, remember, where they worship the idols, taking the groves out of land, you've prepared your heart to seek God." So there's one of the keys to Jehoshaphat that he saw as good in him. He prepared his heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat dwelled at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. So he was somewhat of a revivalist, bringing them before the Lord and that they would worship at the Lord's feet. He set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. So he brought justice to the land. He brought revival to the land. He said to the judges, "Take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment." That's a good verse to underline, isn't it? What a challenge to the judges of today that they're not judging for a political party. They're judging for God. And here's a lifelong verse that you want to memorize. "Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." God's character. "Let the fear of the Lord be upon you." Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites, the priests, and the chiefs of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for the controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, "Thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart." So he's got a revival going, he's got justice and judgment going, and now he's letting Jerusalem be the center of spiritual worship, and he wants them to be faithful in their leading of the people. And he wants them to have a faithful heart, a perfect heart, two things you and I can strive for. "And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not trespass. Notice blood and blood, so family fights, family squabbles. And then you take what the law and the commandments, if it's a statute or a judgment. The warning is, don't let anything that comes your way cause you to blaspheme the Lord. It could be just your attitude towards your sister, your cousin, your dad, your mom. It could be a legal spat with your neighbor. It could be a breaking of the law or a breaking of God's commandments. And so he's saying, be very, very careful that you do not trespass. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all the matters of the Lord, and Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites shall be officers before you. And here's a good one to memorize and underline. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with you. Would you read that out loud together? Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. God's looking for courageous people, because we don't have a very courageous community or society anymore. And God's looking for people that'll be bold and be courageous. And he promises to be with those people that'll stand for righteousness. Chapter 20. Came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And En-Gedi is down in the south of Judah, of Israel, lower part. And it's just north, in about the third of the way down from the northern part of the Dead Sea. And En-Gedi is a very refreshing place. Used to be a community of that lived there, and now there's waterfalls there. And David hid out in this area when he's running from Saul. Now, look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The odds were against him, so the fear of the Lord came to him. The second thing is that he set himself to seek God and find out God's will. Then he inspired the rest of the people by fasting before the Lord. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, I want you to underline this. I'd like you to read it out loud, would you? Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Very important. I wish that would be us as a nation, that we would all come together to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? And listen to his prayer. Of course, God is the God in heaven, but it's unique how he got this relationship. And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? See, that's showing a man that knows the sovereignty of God. And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? Now, isn't that interesting? Because in Genesis it said that Abraham was a friend of God, and here's Jehoshaphat remembering that God called him his friend. They dwelt therein, they built you a sanctuary therein for your name, saying, if when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And we cry unto you in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou would not let Israel invade, the people we couldn't invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come, to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. This is the front page of every newspaper today in the United Nations number one issue. Palestinians trying to kick the Jews out of the land, the inheritance that God gave them. Isn't that interesting? They're still having the same battle. Why? Because they left God. Now, somebody prayed about, you know, one nation under God being taken out of our flag salute. But just think of that. Crosses are taken off of mountains and hillsides. Scriptures are taken out of courtrooms, And now this is happening. And America is so asleep, it doesn't realize it, that it's having God removed. And this is what will destroy us, just like it destroyed Israel. Follow this thought along. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Would you underline that? Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Memorize that one. When it comes time that you don't know what to do, put your eyes on the Lord. What a great prayer he has here. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives and their children, and then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. These guys have a lot of sons. A Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, you all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Would you read that out loud? Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, there are some battles that you should fight in your life, but there are a lot of battles you're wasting your time and energy on. And when you're overwhelmed and you set your heart to seek the Lord and keep your eyes on him, he'll just show you that he's going to take care of it all. So some of you may be facing battles that are too much for you and too big for you, and you need to just trust the Lord that he's going to take care of it. It's his battle. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they'll come up by the hill, the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Read that out loud. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go but against them, for the Lord, he will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And as they rose early in the morning, they went forth into the wilderness of Zekoah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper." Believe in the Lord your God, and that'll establish you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We've taken the fear of God out of our schools, so children don't know about the fear of God. And everybody says to be politically correct, it's not right that there might be a non-believer in the classroom. Well, that's what the fear of God does. It strikes a heart in non-believers. When you become politically correct, you become heavenly incorrect. And by being politically correct, you don't allow the fear of God to work in those that don't know him. And so the devil has used words in very clever ways. And these are principles for you to live by, though. Believe in the Lord and you'll be established. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now here's some worship hints, Johnny and Sarah. Singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, you can see the Psalms are filled with that whole concept in those words. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So God used the music to smite the enemy as they went out worshiping. It doesn't mean that they were that bad as musicians or singers, and it freaked out the enemy. It just meant it set the tone for the battle. And the soldiers got strength from the worship and the praise, and that the lyrics were pointing the way to remind them of a strong God. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and the dead bodies and precious jewels. which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And so, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord before the name of the same was place was called, the valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. So a big emphasis on music. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. So you may want to ask if your realm is quiet, because God can give you rest no matter what the turmoil is going on in your life. That's the key, that his God gave him the rest. Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and he departed not from doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. So though he had dealt with the groves, he didn't take away the high places where the idols were up on the sides of the mountains. And this was one little stronghold that was left for Satan to work in. And it's like our own lives. We can leave one little stronghold in our lives that he can get his feet into. And we need to ask the Lord to take it down and exalt him in that area of our life where we find that weakness. And now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they're written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hananiah, and is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And would you circle these three words? And after this, though he had a great record all the way up to the end of his life, and after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. He made a big mistake in who he allied himself with. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodava, of Merishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken your works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. What's another story in the Bible about Tarshish? Jonah. And he went down there on a ship. And remember, that ship was so strong, it didn't break up in the storm. They threw him over the side. And it is interesting that this king, the minute he allied himself with somebody that was wicked, none of his works were strong anymore. And so you may see business deals or investments or relationships fall apart, but you may want to look at who you're working with in junction with those things. God's not going to honor those things in his sons and daughters' lives that are wicked. He wants you to prosper because he causes you to prosper, not the people of this world. Chapter 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. And these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, underline this, he strengthened himself. It wasn't for the people, he strengthened himself. And he slew all of his brothers with the sword and various also of the princes of Israel. Now Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel like did the house of Ahab. And of course, the house of Ahab was a wicked house, and the kings of Israel were wicked kings. And the daughter, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. He had married Ahab's daughter. And so the wickedness she is raised up in, the lack of morals, crept into his value system that his good father gave him, and he was corrupted by it. And he worked that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Underline that. This guy is a bad guy. He worked what was evil in God's eyes, and you and I don't want to work what is evil in God's eyes. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant. that he had made with David, as he had promised to give a light to him and his sons forever. And in his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all of his chariots with him, and he rose up by night, and he rose and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. When you forsake the Lord God of your fathers, again, that's about the fourth time we've seen that. God leaves you if you leave him. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah. He caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah. Now here's the prophet Elijah, who's also found in the book of Kings. The prophet Elijah gave him something, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of David, your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but you have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and you've made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and you've also slain your brethren of your father's house, which were better than yourself." And the only reason he became king is because he was firstborn. Elijah reminds him, the only reason you were there is firstborn. These other brothers were better than you. And he knew they were, but he didn't want any competition at all. "Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite your people and your children and your wives and all your goods. And you shall have great sickness by disease of your bowels until your bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day." Now there's a curse if I ever heard one. "I curse you, may your bowels fall out. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah, and they broke into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wife, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease." Is that frightening? That to get your attention, God would smite you? This guy was so hard, the only way that he could get him was hit him internally. And still, there's no repentance that comes from him. Now, this one son, Jehoahaz, is hidden and protected. "And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness." Oh, yuck. "So he died of various diseases, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers." They didn't like this guy. Now, this is how he ends his life up, with no pomp and circumstance. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem for 8 years, so 40 years old. And underline this, he departed without being desired. It really raises a question to us. If you and I were to die, does anybody desire to hear about us or know anything about us or even care about us? That's what it's saying. Nobody really cared. They were happy this guy died. You know, what about that statement? That's a scary statement. "And he departed without being desired." What a sad and lonely thing to die without anybody caring about you. Isn't that kind of a selfish, self-centered life? "Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the king." You see, people, good people, they know who the bad people are that are in office ruling over him. They didn't give him even the honor of being buried in the king's sepulchers, but they just threw him out there in the bushes somewhere and said, "Get him out of here." Chapter 22, "The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead, for the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab," so a wicked guy also. Underline this, "his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." See, that says a lot. Moms have a lot of influence on us. And many of our little quirks are probably because of our moms. Many of our great blessings and strengths are probably because of the influence of our moms. But for some reason, we always needed a strong acceptance from our mothers. And this woman could have told the king, look, you bless people, and God will bless you. But instead she said, be wicked. For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Look at verse 4. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Bad counsel will bring destruction to you. He walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. And he returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah. And the destruction of Hazael was of God by coming to Jehoram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. Isn't it interesting? The Lord sent this man as the assassin because they were wicked and they were evil. And they caught up with him, for he is hid in Samaria, verse 9, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him, because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all of his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose up and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. What a wicked woman. She just was possessed by the devil, and she wanted evil to reign in the country. I was walking through a store today, a grocery store, and I was taking note of all the skulls and crossbones and skeletons and the Halloween candy. And I was thinking how backward our country is. This is the high holiday for witchcraft and Satan worship. It's acceptable in every school in the United States of America. It is just plastered everywhere, and big business supports it. But talk about baby Jesus being born of a virgin in a manger. How horrible. You see the picture? I think this lady still got her influence in our country, and we need to get her out, whoever she is. That's a bad spirit, to say the least. And she destroyed the royal seed. But Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Josiah, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jeho, the daughter of the king, the wife of Jehoiada, there's too many names, for she was the sister of this other guy, hid him from the other one, so that she slew him not. Phew, got through that one. And he was with them, hid in the house of God for 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. So this wicked witch of the north was reigning over the land. The little boy was hid in the house of God for 6 years. Boy, if you're a grandpa or an uncle or an aunt or a mom or dad, hide your kids in the house of God, because the storms that are coming down the road when you and I are walking around with our canes and wheelchairs and old and not able to say much anymore, it's going to be wicked and evil, and we need to protect the children. Chapter 23. In the seventh year, Jehoiada had strengthened himself and took the captains of the hundreds. And verse 2, they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah, the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. Still a remnant. They gather good people together and they say, listen, God gave a promise to King David, and this boy is from the loins of King David, and we're making him the king. We want the blessings of God back in our land. This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be porters of the doors. One third part shall be at the king's house. A third part at the gate of the foundation. And all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord except the priests, that they may minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever else comes into the house, he shall be put to death. But you with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. So the Levites and all of Judah did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come on the Sabbath with them, that were to go out on the Sabbath. Moreover, the priests delivered to the captains of hundreds spears, bucklers, and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. He said, all the people, every man having his weapon in his right hand from the right side of the temple, the left side of the temple, along by the altar, by the temple. And they brought out the king's son, put upon him the crown, gave him the testimony, and they made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. God save the king. Can you say that out loud? God save the king. In the Hebrew, it could also be translated, let the king live. And that was their desire, that God would have a godly king sitting on the throne, which shows us that it is in our hearts to have leadership and rulers. But we have put up with such weak leadership and rulers for so long, we don't know how to say, God save the king or let the king live. And we need to pray for our leaders because God can touch their hearts. They have a lot of decisions to make that we don't understand all the details or the politics of them or the ramifications of them. And so we want to ask God to bless our leadership in our country, that they could be softened towards the gospel. And when Athaliah, here's the bad wicked witch, heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in. The princes, the trumpets by the king, the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, the singers with instruments of music as such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. Then Jehoiada, the priest, brought out the captains of the hundreds and said to them, have her forth of the ranges, and whosoever follows her, let him be slain with a sword. The priest said, slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people, and between the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Is that cool? That they should be the Lord's people. Lord, I'd like to make a covenant with you for these people, that they would be your people. These men, these women would be your men and your women. And whatever it is you did after that leader made a covenant with you, I pray you'd do it in their hearts and their lives too. In Jesus' name, amen. And all the people went to the house of Baal and broke it down, broke his altars, his images in pieces, slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. The king appointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priest, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. He set the porters at the gates of the house. He took the captains of the hundreds and the nobles, the governors of the people, all the people of the land, brought down the king from the house of the Lord. They came through the high gate into the king's house, set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. Boy, you get wickedness out of the way, and peace settles in. And maybe there's just some wickedness around you. It might even be in your home. It might be an idol. It might be some demon mask from Asia that you have hanging on your wall that really represent spirits. Could be some bad video games or bad movies that you have on DVDs that are quenching the spirit. And the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. And, you know, once these things are gone from our lives, this evilness starts getting away from us. There's more of God's purity. As we want to have a pure heart. We want to have a pure mind. But we have to be honest with God all the way through and get all the junk out that's around us. And there is peace and quiet when the evil is taken away. Chapter 24, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Imagine that. He had probably only learned about 8 verses at this time. 7 years old when he began to reign. Now, we know that a 7-year-old wouldn't know how to be the king, but he reigned for 40 years. So how old was he when he finished reigning? Okay, your math is working. In Jerusalem, 47 years old when he died, but 7 years old he started out. So he had a long learning curve in authority and wisdom. And Joash, read this out loud, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that something? Here's this boy that somebody took the time to teach the scriptures and the commandments to, and he was able to do right before the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So as long as there's a godly minister willing to give the commandments of the Lord, God will always bring people to that minister to learn the commandments of the Lord, so that they can go out and lead their communities in righteousness. So the priest took for him two wives. He begat sons and daughters. It came to pass after that that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. It was in disarray. Things need to be fixed. He gathered together the priests of the Levites and said to them, "Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hurry up this matter." Howbeit the Levites did not hurry it up. And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring it out of Judah and out of Jerusalem, the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set without at the gate of the house of the Lord." Now, if you've ever noticed in the gymnasium, at every gate, at every door, on the wall is a small chest, a small box. And those are shekel boxes. That's what Moses called for in the book of Exodus, that everybody from every family would bring a shekel, and daily they would drop it into the box, and then the leaders would take that and hire the workers to come and repair and keep the facilities up to speed and beautiful. And that's our responsibility in God's house, not just to get a house for him, but to maintain a house for him. You see, you have a responsibility. Some of you spend money on alcohol and cigarettes and things that is a waste, when you should take and put a shekel in a box to represent the Lord. And how you handle your money really shows how your heart is with the Lord. And they had a responsibility. So this king, this seems like a minor thing, but verse 4, Joash was reminded, so the Holy Spirit reminded him, to repair the house of the Lord. So, verse 9, so they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at the time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officers came and emptied the chest and took it, carried it to his place again, and thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king of and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord's. They hired They hired masons, they hired carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as worked with iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen worked, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in estate, and they strengthened it. They made it better. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and the priest, whereof were made vessels of the house of the Lord, vessels to minister, to offer withal, spoons, vessels of gold and silver. They offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of the priest. But the priest waxed old and was full of days when he died, 130 years old. That's an old dude in anybody's language. 130 years old when he died. He had longevity because his influence was needed in the country. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. Now, the last king, they didn't bury among the kings, did they? Because, look at this, he had done good in Israel, both towards God and toward his house. It showed their priorities were right, this guy's. Now, after the death of the king, or the priest, came the princes of Judah. They made obeisance to the king. The king listened to them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and they turned to idolatry. Yet he sent prophets in verse 19 to bring him back to the Lord. It's always a struggle. Verse 20, the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, and he said, "Thus saith God, why transgress ye against the commandments of the Lord, that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." I'd like you to read that out loud with me, verse 20. "Why transgress ye against the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." Now, isn't that sad? We're forsaking the Lord as a people, and we can only foresee that unless we as a people in America get back to the Lord, he's going to forsake us. And we're just going to be lost, and our children and grandchildren will be lost. And we're losing the heritage of the Lord. But that's the curse that comes. You leave him, He leaves you. Father, we'd like to pray that you'd help us be strong in you and that you would remind us to prepare our hearts before you, that you'd remind us to worship you and to sing and praise you. You'd remind us, as we saw about these singers going out, man, the battle was won. You'll remind us to be people that live according to your commandments. Lord, you'll remind us to be good influences over children. You'll remind us, like this priest, to be a good influence over the people we work with or that work for us, any bit of leadership we have, that we can be people that will bring strength to our community. And we do pray for America. God, please have mercy on us. We're a lost people. And we'd like to pray in Jesus Christ's name that your Holy Ghost would move on San Diego. We'd love to see the whole country, but we pray you'll move on San Diego. We pray in Jesus' name for a powerful outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.